Hello guys, and welcome to yet another episode of Just Being Real Good Vibes Only podcast, and this is your host Julia Awor. I hope you're well guys. It's been a minute, but yes, we are back. And now we are having a guest this time around. I am so excited because I have a lot lined up for you, but before that, let's talk about the previous episode. So we focused on the 33 lessons that this woman has learned now that she turned 33. Yes, it was my birthday month. It's still a celebration time because, of course, we celebrate my birthday the whole of July as much as we are gaining more numbers, but who cares? Let's enjoy this life. Okay, first, if you're new here, welcome. We love guests and we would like you to enjoy and feel at home. If you haven't listened to the previous episodes, please do. It's important so that you can be able to catch up, and don't forget to give us your feedback. If you're not new, as usual, thank you so much. You're so amazing. You're the people who make this space very interesting and I love it. And of course, as usual, we got feedback from the previous episode with everyone saying they want to hear the story. Do you know what story that is? The story about me dating a married man. People want to hear that out. So let's do this. Let's get like a few comments and we'll see. Let's get 10 comments and then, you know what? You never know. The next episode might just be about that. And now, of course, we've jumped into the love episodes again. And I've noticed this is what people love. I don't know. I think love just makes things a tick and makes life interesting. So we can never do away with it, okay? So I had one and my favorite fan who came and commented. And he said the next episode should be about your experience of dating a married man and the lesson you get to learn in the process. And then he was like, those life lessons deserved a double episode. Good stuff. Thank you so much for that, David. Thank you for always listening in and giving your feedback as usual. That was lovely. So guys, What's happening? Oh my God. Let's talk about South Africa. There's a lot that is going on. And if you're not aware or you don't know, I'm sure most people know though, there's a political violence kind of situation there. And South Africa just spiraled out of control, you know? And what started as protest against the jailing of former President Jacob Zuma has morphed into collective rage against the persistent poverty and inequality across South Africa. And now it has become worse because now there's looting and breaking in, which is crazy. And the security forces have just been not able to control or to contain the whole situation. It's crazy. And sometimes you wonder, you know, I know South Africa has had so many things, and for them to get to this point, I feel like it's a point of no return. Because I was watching and I could see even a trader crying because her shop was just looted and everything gone. That's your means of livelihood gone. So can you imagine how many people are going through the same predicament? The economy will be in shambles soon if it doesn't end. So guys, let's remember them in prayers and let's hope for the best, because what? The situation is crazy. All right? Okay, so let's not dwell on the sad beats, but of course we have to remember, because those are our brothers. And we have to remember them at the end of the day. So let's dive in into what we're going to talk about today. So on today's episode, we're going to look at mental and emotional abuse. And the funny thing, we always know someone who's always going through that. And when we look from the outside, we always wonder, what is wrong with this person? Why can't, you know, can they just walk away, you know, and start life afresh? But most people probably know many of the more obvious signs of mental and emotional abuse. And that's why you can be able to identify and be like, you know what, what's wrong with this human being? But I've realized when you are in the midst of it, it can be easy to miss the persistent undercurrent of abusive behavior. So our guest today was going through a similar predicament and she was able to pull out. And I would want you to listen in and you'll be able to learn quite a lot, you know? So psychological abuse involves a person's attempt to frighten, control, or isolate you. It's in the abuser's words and actions, as well as their persistence in these behaviors. The abuser could be your spouse or boyfriend or girlfriend, or can we call it romantic partner? They could be your business partner, yeah, and a parent or a caretaker. So it can happen in very many situations, just not in romantic kind of situations. So one thing I want you to realize is no matter who it is, you don't deserve it. And it is not your fault. So continue listening. And as I mentioned earlier, you're going to learn a lot. And then we will discuss later on. And yeah, let's meet our guest. Welcome back, guys. And yeah, my guest is here with me. I am so excited. I was just telling her that I got a new microphones from a listener. Thank you for them, for this blessing. And they're the first people I'm hosting with the new microphones. So I have someone on the line. I'm not going to say her name. She's the one who's going to introduce herself. But she's a relationship mentor. And she's been helping women to reclaim their identity and release the shame of broken relationships so that they can trust love again. You know, it's love that makes the world go round. We can never do without it, right?
Right. Yeah, totally. Absolutely right. Well, I'm just going to jump right in and take the opportunity and just say hello to the listeners. Hi, my name is Christina. And like Julia just said, I'm a relationship mentor. And it's really important to me to actually help women who either have been in a toxic relationship or actually find themselves in a toxic relationship to get out of that situation and find their way back to themselves, to their authentic self, to the independent, strong woman that every one of us is. And well, the reason why I'm so passionate about doing this is because a couple of years back, actually 10 years to be precise, I actually found myself in a toxic relationship and my whole world turned upside down and I had to actually rebuild my life from scratch. So now I'm wanting to share the wisdom that I've gained over the last decade with women who find themselves in a similar situation to actually be able to live the life of their dreams without having to give up their personality or their identity.
Okay, so wow, that is really amazing. And I'm glad you're able to get out of that situation. Because like we said, we cannot do away with love. And I know relationships and marriages have become so tricky. And especially with our way of living. And life has become difficult, talk of COVID. So the people who get into marriages, and maybe it's about money, maybe this guy can take care of me, or this woman is stable enough, you know, if anything happens, they can, you know, come on board and help through. So what can you say about that? Have you now, after your situation, have you tried dating in this period?
Yes, actually, to be perfectly honest, I have dipped my toes back into the dating pool quite some while ago now, and it was actually I've learned quite a few lessons along this journey. And obviously, like you said, I mean, especially during these very trying times of COVID, dating has become even more difficult, I would say, because obviously people are scared, and it's not as easy to arrange a meetup. But and also, like you were saying, it has put a strain on relationships, because imagine, think about all the lockdowns that have happened over the last, let's say, 1.5 years. Many couples, many women, I mean, obviously also men, but I think it's mostly women who find themselves in a toxic relationship, whether that is a relationship or whether that is a marriage, had to endure a really tough time being in lockdown. Because imagine you are in that relationship and you are forced to actually stay indoors with the person who harms you. I mean, I think it's been extremely difficult for people in
I
that
agree.
type of space. I mean, not to discount all the other difficulties that people have faced over this period, and obviously there's other very serious situations where people are not safe to stay with whoever they're staying with during lockdown. So, but that's a completely different type of story. We are talking just about relationships, right? And
Yes.
marriages, let's say. So it has been a very, very difficult time, because if you think that you actually have lost the liberty of being able to go about your daily life, and you're stuck indoors with this person, it's very, very difficult to actually get yourself out of that situation. It's like a vicious circle. You're constantly there, right? So you actually are being deprived of the connections that you would normally make outside of that relationship when you go out for work or do the other things of daily life. So I think it's all the more important that we have that support net in our lives, where we can reach out to someone and talk about what is going on in our lives. And I know that's not always easy, but I have been there, and I know for sure that if I had had the opportunity to connect with someone during the times that I was going through my toxic relationship, I would have been so super grateful. Because let me tell you, there was a lot of shame around me not wanting to talk about being in that situation. You know, I was blaming myself. I was made to believe that it was my fault, that things weren't going well. And if you have someone telling you over and over again that it's your fault and that you're doing things wrong, you somehow internalize those things. And it's very difficult to actually see clearly and be able to take a step back and evaluate what's wrong and what isn't. And if I have had that someone to talk to that actually has been where I've been and is actually understanding,
And
then
let me just interject.
yes.
Let me find out. So you've brought out everything that was happening in your marriage. Was this thing there when you were actually dating this person? Were there like red flags, but you decided, okay, this will change or anything? Or was it just okay, then things changed at some point?
No, there were definitely red flags. You're right. I mean, there's always red flags. There always is. And my intuition told me that some things weren't right, but I chose to ignore them. And I think that's what a lot of people do as well. And the reasons are, you know, they're different for everyone why they're doing what they're doing. I mean, I can only talk for myself why I ignored those signs. Before actually being in that relationship, I had been single for a long, long time. And you know, there's a lot of stigma around attached around being single as well. So
Tell
when
me about it.
right people look at single people with with some sort of pity, and as if being solo or flying solo is something to be ashamed
Something
of.
awful, yeah.
Yes, exactly. That's something's not quite right with that person. Especially if it's a woman. Again, I know obviously
Oh my God,
I'm talking
yes.
about women, but especially when it comes to women, it almost seems that if a woman is not in a relationship, she's not being seen as a whole human being. She's actually sometimes being reduced to just being an accessory, right? And if she isn't in a
Yes.
relationship, then clearly there's something going very, very wrong with this person. So me being in that space of being single for quite a long time, when I met this person, I thought to myself, well, and I saw those red flags, and I'm going to go into what those red flags were, but I thought to myself, how bad can it be? You know, wouldn't it be better to be in a relationship than not be in one? And actually, at first, those red flags were just very subtle, let's say, noises that I chose to ignore. I mean, one of the red flags was the fact that he was extremely jealous. But you know how we sometimes justify
Equate that to
people's
love.
behavior. Yeah, exactly. We think that, oh, it's cute. You know, it
Yeah.
means that this person is really cares for me. You know, they're really are protective of me. But actually, it was that type of jealousy that isn't healthy. I'm not
Yeah.
saying you shouldn't care about if your partner does things that are hurtful, obviously, and if things do hurt, and it
The extremes,
they're exactly, but they're, you know, when it sparks some jealousy, that's one thing. But being overly jealous can be healthy, but I chose to see it as something cute, and he was very manipulative. But then again, I thought, well, he only wants the best for me. He wants to take care of me, because that was the message that I received, that men are there to actually care and look after a woman. And I misinterpreted these signs as being caring towards me, which was actually not the case. It was the exact opposite. It was about control and manipulation and lots of other bad stuff, which obviously, if you want to know, I can go into them, but I don't know whether I'm talking too much.
No, I'm actually no. You know, I like the way you're flowing, but what I can say is, so there were these red flags, and of course now you decided, okay, this is cute, and you settled in. What was the major sign that just made you realize like this is not okay?
Right. I mean, this may sound really obvious, but at the time, believe me, I was actually putting up with it. It was the fact that he got really violent. That was the point where I started actually questioning whether things were right and whether I was meant to stay in that relationship. And I know
Well.
in hindsight it sounds really silly, because you would think, well, once someone is starting to harm you physically, surely you would be, taking the high road and leave that person, right?
Live,
But once, when you're emotionally involved in a situation and you've been brainwashed, because things are starting off very slowly, like I said, with the jealousy, the very subtle manipulation, the
There's
controlling.
emotional bit, right?
Well, yeah, it's the emotional bit. So you're basically being tied to that person emotionally first, and then all these subtle little things happen. And then before you know it, you are actually caught in that net, and you've been told all these lies every day with being with that person. And like I said, you internalize those things. And then you, even when things get completely out of control, like when someone starts hitting you or beating you, you actually still try to rationalize that in your head.
Yes.
Find the way, find ways of where you went wrong, because that has been drilled into your brain that, you know, you are the issue, you are the problem, you are the person who is causing all
this.
And you are so brainwashed that you actually can't even think clearly and say, well, hang on a second, this is not what I brought on myself. So that was the thing where I thought, well, I cannot take this. But funnily enough, Julia, it wasn't me who ended things. It was him who ended things, because I still was
in
a position to leave.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, I know it can happen because, okay, you're bringing out some things and I'm like, oh my God, that totally resonates with me because, you know, I have a child and the father to my child, we were together for quite a while. And I remember when we were at some point, you know, when we were dating and everything, he was also the over jealous type. And I came to realize later he was the jealous type because he thought I was doing the same thing he was doing. He was the one cheating the whole time. So he was bringing the insecurities to me. And then I remember if at all he's done a mistake, he'll overturn things and you will look like you're the one who's crazy. And you'll be the one apologizing. Yes. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So I've gone through that and I know that clearly. So, wow. So you're telling me he's the one who ended things. So did you have kids and how did they get affected in the process first before we even?
No, actually, we didn't have kids. So luckily, no one else was affected.
That would have been tough. Yeah.
It would have been tough. Yes, it would have been tough. But it was tough on me as well. I mean,
I can imagine.
Took a toll on me, and it took me many, many years to actually get my life back on track. And I actually had a complete mental and physical breakdown after he finished things with me. And I actually ended up in hospital and I had to have emergency spinal surgery. So actually, if you think about it, the spine is what supports our body. But I felt like everything had failed me, so my body actually mirrored what was happening in my life. And so I ended up in hospital, and but looking back, it was one of the best things that could have happened to me, because I still, even until that happened, hadn't realized what was going on, because I never took time to actually reflect about stuff. I didn't even know what it means to actually look after myself and take care of my needs and, you know, look after what is important to me. I'd just been catering to this man the whole time.
Yes.
And I'm not saying men are bad. I mean, that is not the message that I want to get out there.
Thank you. It's important.
That is important. Yes. We are not dissing men here. I'm talking about this particular person. And I'm saying that this man managed to actually just suck the whole life out of me. And I allowed it as well, you know. It's a two-way street as well. I'm not saying I brought things onto me, but I played a part in it, because I just allowed myself to be sucked into this manipulation and then find myself in a situation where I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I liked. I didn't like. I didn't know what to do in my free time. It was like being a completely lost person, right? So I had to figure out these things again. And this surgery allowed me to do just that, because I had so much time on my hands because I was bedridden for many months and because I couldn't walk. So I had all the time in my life to actually think, reflect, meditate, talk things through, work
Yeah.
things out, and actually discover who I am, what I like. And like when you were introducing myself, you know,
Yes.
reclaim my identity and release the shame that kept me bonded to this dark secret for such a long time in my life. You know, I finally found my voice to actually speak about this story, share it, and also share the insights that I've gained by going through the situation. And that is why I'm so passionate about helping other
All
women
that, yeah.
achieve the same. Because I don't want them, I don't want for them to put their life on hold for 10 years, like what happened to me. I
Yes.
want them to get out of it, snap out of the situation much quicker than I did, with the tools that I've discovered that are helpful to actually getting yourself back on track and living the life that you always wanted to live.
Do not touch that dial. We will be right back.
Okay, and Kristen, let me just ask, how long did it take you for you to just get to this space that you are in? I know it's a gradual process. So once things ended, how long did it take you? Because the reason as to why I'm asking that is, after I parted ways with the father to my kid, I don't know. For me, it takes time before you recover. And you also meet people along the way, and there's small things that they do, and it kind of brings back a memory, and you end up ending up things. So people never understand. People will think that you're still holding on to this guy, that you still love them, but you actually don't even love. Like, the feelings are all gone. But it's only that you don't want to get yourself in the same situation. What would you say about that? How long did it take you to just get out of that space and even decide, now I want to date? Okay.
It took me many years, many, many years. I don't think it's possible to put a number on it, but
yes,
I think, well, if I had to guess, I would probably say pretty much 8 years it took me.
And yeah,
that sounds like an awful long time, and it is an awful long time if you think about
yes,
it.
Yes, it is.
And there are still things I need to work on to, you know, still to this day.
You don't get fully there.
You do and you don't, right? Because like with everything, life is a process. You never reach the destination. You're always constantly working and improving, and things are changing up, and you are adapting to new realities. So I think it's a lifelong process. So there are still things I'm working through, but I'm much further along than I was 10 years ago, right?
Uh-huh.
So I would say that if I hadn't had to do it all by myself, I'm pretty certain it wouldn't have taken so long. But obviously, I took a lot of detours. And until I realized the things that are actually working, it took me some time. And also, you also can't forget about the fact that we sometimes are being an obstacle to ourselves, right? We say we want one thing. For instance, you want to go back into dating. But the fear of allowing yourself to date subconsciously is greater than your desire to actually meet someone new. So actually, first of all, you have to figure out, where am I on that spectrum? You know, am I tending towards the desire side of things? You know, is my desire bigger than my fear, or is my fear still bigger than my desire? And in order to actually understand where you lie on that spectrum, you obviously need to spend time with yourself and your thoughts, and think about the things that trigger you when things aren't going well in dating, or think about what things put you off when you were with someone, what things delighted you, what made you feel comfortable. You know, it's like a constant assessment. So you constantly ask yourself questions to understand yourself better in order to actually help yourself get on the right track. So
let me even bring this, let me bring this in. For me, I know I am done and I've grown so much from even the whole situation. The only thing I would say is, of course, there are those triggers that remind you of back then and you don't want to have, you know, such memories, or you don't want to go down that path again.
Yes.
So what can you say? Staying single for 9 or 8 years is a long time. And I think being alone and you realize I can, you know, through it all myself, kind of also brings in a lot of challenges. Would you say you have such kind of a thing happening with you, or it's just me?
Oh, I think, sorry, if I understand the question correct, it's you're basically asking how, well, first of all, I've coped with being single for such a long time. And how I actually balance let's say, obviously I've been living a very independent life. A life where I make all the decisions.
And now you're meeting people, yeah.
And how I'm meeting people and how these things are going. Okay, so.
Yes.
Well, okay, so obviously it was by choice, staying single for such a long time. I did have a very, very brief relationship in 2000, towards the end of 2017, beginning of 18. It was only a 6-month relationship, but nonetheless, that was my first relationship after probably 8 years or 6 years of being single. So I was single for a long time. Like I said, out of choice, I was not ready. But now that I'm ready and I'm back in the dating pool and dating many men, I've realized that I've come a long way. Whereas before, you know, I might have, I'm going to use the word attracted, but you'll understand in a moment how I mean this. I've attracted a lot of men that maybe weren't up to the standards or the idea that I have had in my head of what I want the man that is by my side to look like. And I don't mean physically, I mean what a person I would love next.
All-rounded person, yeah.
Exactly, all-rounded person. I might have not attracted that type of person in the beginning, but it gave me the opportunity to actually revise that image that I had built, also to train my muscle of self-worth and actually finding myself in a situation where before I might have succumbed and said, oh, what the hell, you know, he's interested enough, or he is decent enough, or things like that. And then, obviously, with time, I realized that I was my self-esteem was rebuilt, that I was able to actually resist that type of person and wasn't actually attracting any more people like that. The people I started attracting into my life were different. There were people who were more available emotionally. It was people that were looking for the same things as I am. So I think it's a process, you know. I think life puts a lot of tests in front of you, and just to as an evaluation for yourself to see, am I still being triggered by the same things? Am I still falling for the same things? What have I learned? How am I dealing with the same situation? How am I different now? How am I dealing with the situation differently than I would have one, two, 3 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago? What has changed? How have I changed? How am I valuing myself more now? How am I actually taking my needs serious and actually not allowing people to come into my life who are not able to give me what I want. So it's been a process, but it has been like a dance, you know, like a slow dance
where yeah.
you know, you're just feeling it out, you're just seeing how it feels, and you adjust your moves and
the moves and everything, yeah,
and everything. So yeah,
so it's okay to say if I haven't met the one, it's still fine to say, you know what, I'm still okay. I'll still meet people, you know, until I meet. As much as you adjust a few things here and there, of course, because I remember, I think when we are all young, we have a very huge list.
Mm-hmm.
And with time, things change because you realize I'm actually not attracted to this, but I'm attracted to this, you know. So it's okay. It's still okay to, you know, say this is not it. Okay,
absolutely,
next.
Absolutely, absolutely. And with every new encounter, you actually learn something about yourself, because
yes,
some person might bring, let's say, I mean, I personally value smartness, and I don't
yes
mean book smartness, you know.
Yes,
I'm talking
and
about
all, yeah,
people who are capable of actually engaging in meaningful conversations and
yes,
have something to say, who are interested about life and who are curious about life, right? So once I've met this guy who was really like scoring really high in that department, right? But then there were other things that weren't quite right for him to be the right person for me. So another time I met someone else who was extremely funny. I value humor. I value
yes.
a person who actually doesn't take themselves too seriously. But then you see, with every new encounter, you actually get to reevaluate what's important.
Yes.
To see, you know, what has more importance, what weighs heavier, what is actually the thing that you really want. So the thing about dating is to not despair and not put all your hopes in the man. What I've come to realize is that actually we are the ones that we have been looking for. You know, I think we women are very romantic, and we always think about the one and all this, right? But actually, only recently
the end
I've
girl.
Come to realize
yes,
we are the one. We are the one who can make ourselves happy. And the way I mean this is, you know, you are responsible for your own happiness, and you cannot stand in your way of your own desire. And if you are actually able to honor what you want, and actually with every decision that you take to actually honor yourself, that's the best place you can be in, because then you are the one, then you're not putting obstacles in your way, because you are honoring what's important to you. You're living by your values, you're living by what is important to you in your life, and then things just cannot go wrong, because you will be attracting exactly what is right for you. And but you'll still be happy in the process, because you're not holding off on life. You're not waiting for someone to come into your life or for something to happen, because
you
are actually happy with how your life is, because you know that, I know I'm repeating myself, but you know that you are honoring yourself.
Yeah. Okay, so I would say I would take it like life. Huh? We all have the ups and downs, whether it's career-wise, whether it's general life and everything. And we should always take, or the one thing I emphasize on my podcast is we should always take both the negatives and the positives positively. Like, take them as a learning experience. So, for example, once you're back into the dating scene, of course, you've taken your time, you know what you want, you meet people, and you're wondering, why are all these people not the right people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the women who sometimes they meet people and they treat them badly again, and they end up now carrying the same energy to everyone they meet. I believe always when you meet someone, take it as a learning lesson. What have I learned here? You know?
Absolutely.
And exactly. So that when you move to the next person, don't take the same energy that you left behind to this other person. Is that right?
Yes, I'm totally with you. That's completely right. I mean, you have to actually meet every person. You're meeting every person with a clean slate, you know?
Yes.
You have to leave all the baggage behind. It's like going on a trip, pack the same things for a trip to the beach and for a trip to the mountains going skiing.
Yes.
You would be taking different types of clothes. You wouldn't actually go in the same clothing. So the same applies to dating, you know. You are meeting a different person, so leave everything behind and just go with this new outfit and just allow the other person to be themselves, be yourself, and just enjoy the moment, you know. Life is for living and enjoying the moment as well. It's not about beating yourself up. It's not about giving up. It's not about and I'm not saying, you know, you're not allowed to be sad or
it's okay
to be sad. It's okay to be sad about stuff that are happening. It's okay to be sad about relationships or encounters not working out the way you would have hoped for. It's okay. It's totally okay. But don't allow that to beat you up and not get up again. And you know, just give it your best again the following time. There's always someone new out there wanting to meet you. So
yes.
But you know, we shouldn't put so much pressure on ourselves. And also, dating is not the end and be all.
I agree.
Our life has got many parts in it. So we have our friendships, we have our work, we have our family, we have we have our hobbies. Then there's obviously the romantic relationship side of things, but it only is a small piece of the whole cake that is our life. So if we put all our energy into that one piece of cake, all the other parts will actually be deprived of oxygen. We need to actually apply the same amount of oxygen to all our pieces of cake.
Yes, I agree.
To live a full life and not actually let things overwhelm you. So if you focus your energy on just one part and that part doesn't go well, guess what? You'll feel really you'll feel pretty shitty. But if you are actually taking care of all the other pieces of cake as well, you will not be so tempted to be thrown off by little things like that, like disappointments in your dating journey, if you're looking after all the other parts as well. This is what it means to actually live a healthy and wholesome life, to be able to be happy even if you're not in a relationship.
Because I've realized sometimes when other things flourish, for example, if your job flourishes, you know, you forget you're happy, you know. And of course, once in a while, you'll be like, oh, you'll see someone with their boyfriend or you're watching a movie and you're feeling sad. It's still okay. You're a human being. And I keep saying it's okay not to be okay, but just don't dwell on it or don't make it your focus every other day. I agree. So,
totally.
This story is interesting, and I know it's a very huge topic, but I guess we're going to do more of this. So, yeah. So, I want you to talk about what you're doing, and there's something you had put out, and I had read it on your Instagram. So, yeah, I wanted you to just explain if. Explain it, and then other women can listen, and you know, you never know, people might be interested.
Sure. Yes. Well, thank you. So basically what I am thinking of doing is actually launching a membership site for women who've just come out of a toxic relationship and want that community, want to be with like-minded women, so they actually have someone to talk to, share their stories with, and also receive some guidance from me as to what they can do to actually rebuild their life and reclaim their identity to live life to the fullest. So
yes.
I've put it out there on Instagram, and I am asking people to share with me if that would be something that they would be interested in. I, for myself, can definitely say if that type of community had been around when I was going through what I was going through, I would have been very, very happy, because, like I said, there is a lot of shame attached around being in such a relationship. You know, no yes. one wants people to look at them and pity them or shame them or belittle them for being in such a relationship. And people yes. who've never been in such a position are actually unable to understand the intricacies of being in that situation. So I want to give women a safe space to congregate nice. Where they can mm-hmm. actually have someone to talk to, and like-minded people who have been through similar situations where you can actually share yourself. I wasn't able yeah. to do that with my friends, and not because yes. I don't value my friends, but sometimes you are just not able to speak to your closest friends about things that are going on in your life, and you need but you do need someone to talk to. And if sometimes you can talk to your friends, and that is great, and that is a really great situation to be in.
Yes.
But mm-hmm. a lot of the times we are ashamed to share something that makes us so vulnerable with
yeah, people I agree.
In our lives that actually only see the facade. And sometimes yes. it's just easier to open up to someone who has been through what you are going through.
A similar situation,
exactly,
yeah.
Exactly, because you know they know. You know they understand, and it's much easier to open up. So I want to offer that safe space to women so that they can actually rebuild their life again. And that is my project. So I'll be... sharing more information over the next yes. couple of days on my Instagram.
Yes.
And yeah, people can obviously come and find me on Instagram and ask me questions if they're interested. I mean, if you don't feel comfortable commenting on any of the posts, just shoot me a DM. It's mm-hmm. totally fine. That's what the DMs are for, you know, so
that yes.
people can reach out in private and don't have to put themselves out there. That's what it's meant to be, and that's what the safe space, the community, the membership is meant to do as well. Sorry, mm-hmm. see, that's my dog. Now she's barking in agreement, saying yes.
No, I know, right?
She's like, yes, girl.
Tell them, I tell you. And I agree with you. Sometimes I know I've seen people judge others, or sometimes as humans we do judge, and we always like, why didn't she leave early? Why is she still there, you know? But when you're with people who understand your situation, it's easier to let go and let them know, you know?
Yes.
So I totally agree, and I love that. And of course, I'm going to share more details, but you can also give out your handle, your Instagram handle, so that, but I'll also link it in the notes.
Okay.
And also while putting it on social media so that people can follow, but you can just mention it out.
Great. Yeah. It's at Hey It's Frizzy. That's my Instagram handle. That's that's where I live. That's where you can find me if you want to talk to me about your situation, if you're thinking about potentially joining the membership, or if you know of someone that might actually be interested in it, or if you yourself would be interested in a one-on-one coaching session, that is also available.
Great. I'm actually excited, guys. I didn't tell you, Christine is all the way from Greece, right?
Yay!
Yeah, and we met through the social spaces, and I'm loving it because I feel like networking really helps.
It
And
really
we
does.
met in a networking kind of setup, and I think the first thing I realized was I loved your energy, and I was like, oh, interesting.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, and I guess I love the direction that you're taking because we can't do away with love. And like we've said, not all men are bad.
No.
And plus, there are even men who have found themselves in bad situations. So it all depends. So I guess people learn in the process, and it's good to know at the end of the day there's someone good out there because we've seen some marriages work, right?
Absolutely,
Yes.
absolutely. There is the couples in our lives that we all look up to, and we
I
actually,
know.
dream of being in that relationship one day
Yes.
ourselves. But all these people started where we are all starting.
Agree,
They knew
agree.
exactly what they wanted. They had a clear picture in mind. They weren't straying off what they wanted. They were valuing themselves. They were honoring themselves, and eventually they met their person, let's say. So
Yes.
it's good. It's inspiring, and I'm like such an romantic soul, it definitely gets me dreaming when I see those couples in my life. Yeah, it
Talk
definitely
about
does.
it. I know it does. And you know, sometimes when you're walking out there, you're this strong person and everything. But sometimes you're the person who's watching a movie and you're seeing these things, or you see your friends when you meet them, you know? And you're like, oh gosh, when you get home, there's some bit of, you have teary eyes.
Yes, I
It
know.
happens and it's fine. It's fine. Everyone yearns for that.
Absolutely. It's
This.
totally natural.
Yes. So this was amazing. So I don't know if you have any parting words.
Okay, well, any parting words? I guess, you're putting me on the spot there. I haven't prepared
Know.
anything. But any parting words? I think what I would like to say is that if you find yourself in that space where you either just come out of a toxic relationship or you are still in a toxic relationship, or you are in this pattern where you constantly, let's say, are meeting, I'm going to say, the wrong people. I just want to tell all these women, you are not alone, right? I mean, I've
Yes.
been through it. Other people have been through it. If you need a word of encouragement, if you need to talk to someone, please reach out. And I'm not saying that like for promotional reasons, I'm not trying to. Obviously, it would be nice if people, join the membership. But besides that, I really want people to know that there is people out there who really care about you being well and putting you in the right direction. It might be that you talk to me and I can point you in a different direction, or you talk to me and I put you up with someone else, another
Yes.
really. It's not about business. It's about
Yes.
really helping people. I think that's what you and I are doing. We're in the
Yes.
business of helping people, and it's really important to me that women know that they are not alone, and that if they don't have anyone else in their life to speak about that situation that they find themselves in, please do reach out.
Yes, I agree. I agree. Wow, interesting. I love this. I'm actually getting more and more ideas.
Okay.
And I think we need to have more and more conversations. I think it's important, when people hear other people's stories, it sometimes brings you to your senses and be like, by the way, that is happening to me,
Yes.
And yeah, so I guess it's important to always share and everything. So thank you so much, Christina. This was amazing. Yeah, I guess the
Okay,
episode
well, thank you so much for inviting me. I really enjoyed talking to you. I really enjoyed meeting you as well on at that community networking
know.
event.
Yes.
Yeah, and I can't wait to, talk some more some other time. Thank
Great,
you.
great, great, great. You're welcome.
Wow, tell me, guys, you did not love that and you just appreciated the lessons that came out of that. I met Christina and she is just amazing. And getting to know that she went through such predicament really makes me sad, but you know what I'm happy about is she was able to get through it, and that means anyone can. And remember, like I'd mentioned earlier, no one deserves to go through such because it's never their fault, you know. And the one lesson I got out of it is that we judge people who are go in such situations and we keep asking ourselves, what's wrong with them? Or some of them will even try leave, go back. Some of them will never leave. You know, they still hold on as much as they know they're unhappy. And now I understand, you know, and only what they need now is an environment or a space they can, you know, comfortably come out and speak about it because it's shameful. No one wants to come and say, you know, I'm beaten every single day. That's why they'll come and say, you know, I hit myself or no door, no, or whatever, just to hide on the kind of maybe we were hit, they were slapped, and you can be able to, there's a sign that shows actually this person was abused in some way. So yeah, it's important to create that space for them, and hence what Christina is doing, and I love it. But first, before we go into that, there are a few details I want to go through, and something I was reading by Healthline on how to recognize the signs of mental and emotional abuse. And this is like a proper PhD research that was done. And it was done by Ann Pietrangelo, excuse my name, reading, and it was reviewed by Timothy J. Legg. Okay. All right. So there are a few things they're looking at, like four and pointers. One being humiliating, negating, and criticizing. So this will just give you ways to understand and trick. To recognize that you're not in a healthy relationship, and maybe in a way, what you can do next. So, when it comes to humiliation, negating, and criticizing, one is name calling. So, these people will blatantly call you stupid or a loser, or words just too awful to just repeat, you know. Another one is derogatory pet names. This is more name calling in not so subtle disguise. So, for example, someone will take, oh, my chubby pancake, you know, in a way they're trying to put what can I say? It's like they're trying to marinate the abuse in some way. So for you, you'll think, oh, but really, it's not. And then there's character assassination. So this will involve the word always. You're always late. You're always wrong. You're always screwing up, they'll always demean you and will feel bad about it. So it's like they're claiming you're never a good person, you know? Yelling. So they'll yell, scream, and swear. And these are meant to intimidate you and make you feel small, you know? And this might be accompanied by fist pounding or throwing things. So those are the signs. And then there is patronizing, like, or oh, sweetie. I know you try, but this is just beyond your understanding. Ouch! I even felt it while reading it, you know? Side. Another one is dismissiveness. You tell them about something that's important to you, and they say it's nothing, you know? And the body language is always like eye rolling, smirking, head shaking, you know? They're conveying a message. And then there's sarcasm. Often just a dig in disguise. When you object, they claim to have been teasing and tell you to stop taking everything so seriously. these are things that happen and people don't really see, you know. And then they put downs of your interest. They might tell you that your hobby is childish, waste of time, or you're out of your league when you, you know, do something. Crazy. All right. Then the second point is control and shame. So the tools of the shame and control game includes threats, telling you they'll take the kids and disappear, or saying there is no telling what I might do. So they're trying to threaten you so that, you know, when you think of leaving or doing something, you know, there'll be a consequence for that. And then there's monitoring your whereabouts. They want to know where you are every other time and insist that you respond to calls or text immediately. And some of them might even show up just to see if you are where you're supposed to be. Crazy. And then there's digital spying. They might check your internet history, emails, text, and call log. They even demand your passwords, you know? Then there's financial control. They might keep bank accounts in their names only. And this, of course, comes in when you're married and sometimes in relationships, you know, and make you ask for your own money, which is crazy. And then you're expected at the end of the day to account for all the penny that you spend on your own money. Yikes. Then there's direct orders from get my dinner on the table now, or, you know, such little things, outburst, you know, as well. And then there's treating you like a child. They'll tell you what to wear, what and how much to eat, or which friends you can see or hang out with. Wow. Then there's unpredictability. What have I said? Unpredictability. Gosh. They'll explode with rage out of nowhere, suddenly shower you with affection, or become dark and moody at the drop of a hat to keep you walking on eggshells. Like, you just don't know what you're about to experience. You're always afraid, you know? And then they walk out. Very common. In a social situation, stomping out of the room leaves you holding the bag. At home, it's a tool to keep the problem unresolved. Because, of course, when they come back, you'll never raise it up because you're afraid they will go again. Then they use others. So what they do, they will tell you that everybody thinks you're crazy, or they all say you're wrong. All right. Point number three, there's accusing, blaming, and denial. When it comes to this, the behavior comes from an abuser's insecurities. So they want, of course, to create a hierarchy in which they're at the top and you are at the bottom. So here are some examples. So there's jealousy. They accuse you of flirting or cheating on them. And most probably, it's them doing that. Then turning the tables. They say you cause their rage and control issues by being such a pain. So, of course, the issue is always thrown back to you. I've gone through that. And within the episode, you heard me saying. And then denying something you know is true. So they will deny that an argument or even an agreement took place, you know. Then they'll use guilt. Of course, that comes with turning tables. They may say something like, you owe me this. Look at all I have done for you, or in an attempt to get their way out of something. And then there is denying the abuse. When you complain about the attacks, abusers will deny it, seemingly bewildered at the very thought of it. And then they'll even accuse you of that abuse. Crazy. Then another one is blaming you for their problems. So whatever's wrong in their life is all your fault. You're not supportive enough, didn't do enough. There's a lot. What? Then there's destroying and denying. They might crack your cell phone or even maybe hit a TV, lose your car keys, burn your car, something. They just have to get away to let their emotions out. All right. So the other one, the other pointers is emotional neglect and isolation. So abusers tend to place their own emotional needs ahead of yours, you know. So they'll come in between you and your people, you know, the people who are trying to be supportive of you, you more dependent on them, you know. And this, the way they do this is, one, demanding respect. No perceived slight will go unpunished, anything you do. And you're expected to defer to them. Wow. And it's always one-way street. No, they're not supposed to, you know, act that when it comes to you and whenever they wrong you. Then there's shutting down communication. They'll ignore your attempts or at conversation in person, by text, or by phone. And most probably that's when it happens now, when it comes to this walk away, when it's now face to face. Then there's dehumanizing you. They look away when you're talking or stare at something else when they speak to you. They'll keep you as well from socializing. Whenever you have plans to go out, they come up with a distraction or beg you not to go. An important point, trying to come between you and your family. They'll tell family members that you don't want to see them or make excuses why you can't attend family functions. So they're really making you dependent on them. Then there's withholding affection. They won't touch you, not even hold your hand or pat you on the shoulder. They may refuse sexual relations, and they take it as a way to punish you or to get you to do something. Wow. Yeah. Then actively working to turn others against you. I think that we spoke about. Then they will call you needy. When you're really down and out and reach out for support, they'll tell you you're too needy, or the world can't stop turning for your little problems, you know. Interrupting. You're on the phone or texting and they get in your face to let you know your attention should be on them. Indifference, they see you hurt or crying and do nothing. Then disputing your feelings, whatever you feel, they say you're wrong to feel that way, or that's not really what you feel at all. So I believe if you've ever seen any of this, then this is a problem. This is a problem. And there's something about most of the time when this happens, we have something that we call a codependent relationship. So when you realize you're codependent, there are certain things that happen that I'm going to read out, just a few. So you are unhappy in the relationship but fear alternatives, like you don't want to go. Where am I going? I have kids. Where, how will I manage to raise them, or something? Then there's consistently neglect your own needs for the sake of theirs. You ditch your friends and sideline your family to please your partner at all times. Then you frequently seek out your partner's approval in whatever you want to do. Then you critique yourself through your abuser's eyes, ignoring your own instincts. Then you make a lot of sacrifices to please the other person, but it's not reciprocated. That can be hard. Yo, then you would rather live in the current state of chaos than being alone. Then you always feel responsible and take the blame for something they did. So these are the things that can happen and you just don't want to move out, or you are just afraid. And what do? If you are being mentally and emotionally abused, trust your instincts. Know that it isn't right and you don't have to live this way. If you fear immediate physical violence, we really have local emergency services. It's something I'm researching about, so when I get to know, I'll share the number and the details. But for now, like Christina said, she is coming up with a community of women who've gone through this, and to just create a safe space of where someone can be really comfortable to speak. So if you want to join this community, please reach out. You can reach out on my DMs, that is on social media, on Instagram at JuliaAwor1, on Twitter at JuliaAwor1, and on Facebook at Awor Ayako. You can reach out and I'll be able to connect you with Christina. If not at all, she shared her details and I'll also have the links to her social media on the notes. You can also go just write her a direct message and she'll be able to reach out. Don't suffer alone. And if someone is going through that, please share this story so they're able to understand. Sometimes people listen to other people sharing whatever they've gone through and they're like, wow, that's happening to me. And you'll be able to maybe help them in one way or another. Okay? All right. This has been amazing. I know it has been a long one, but thank you for listening and I wish you the best. And this is the end of the episode. Bye.